Good morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for this day. And Lord, we thank you for all that you give us, all that you provide us through life. Lord, we ask now that as we come into your presence, as we turn to your word, that you would open our hearts to receive that word. And Lord, even though your word is sometimes hard to understand, hard to deal with, we pray that you would help us in those areas that we need to understand more clearly and be able to carry those out in our lives. We ask, Lord, that you would rid our minds now of just a few of the distractions that we might have so that we can simply focus on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've been going through this Believe series, I've said before that, you know, we kind of started off on a tough subject, God, the Trinity. And I thought, man, it can only get easier. But I almost think it's gotten harder because of all of these foundational beliefs that we have from the Bible. We have to believe a lot of them simply by faith, by what God's word tells us. And as we think over the past several weeks now to the very first of the year, it's become a little bit evident that these core beliefs have kind of laid themselves out similar to the Ten Commandments. And what I mean by that is the fact that the first five that we dealt with, that we looked at, God and how we believe in the Trinity and how we have this personal God that's involved in and cares about our life, where salvation comes from, the Bible itself, and then even our identity in Christ, all of those deal with our vertical relationship with God. And as we moved in then to week six, the church, and then humanity, and then compassion, all of those kind of shift to where we're dealing with our relationship with each other, with the world. That's a horizontal relationship. And this morning, we move to a core belief that's taught in the Bible that, well, there's really no other way to put it, but will make people squirm. You just mention the word, and we automatically think of a certain term. So if I said stewardship, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Giving. Money. And I told the Bible class this morning, I'm going to try, even though it's very difficult, I'm going to try to stay away from the whole idea of money this morning. Because stewardship is actually our whole life. Money is part of that, but coming up here in a few weeks, we're going to deal specifically with how we apply some of these beliefs. And one of those is going to be the giving of your possessions. So I'm going to try to stay away from that a little bit this morning and just look at what is stewardship. I know in our Bible class this morning, the video, he described what this word stewardship is. We see it in most of the time translated in the Bible as a manager, as we saw in our gospel reading for this morning. This is really, that gospel reading for this morning has always been a fascinating parable, but also one that, as you look at that, can almost give you a little bit of trouble. Because what we have here is we've got a manager or a steward who is what? We're told he's dishonest. And the master is going to terminate his position because of this dishonesty. And so this manager goes out and you know, the people finds the people who owe the master money, and he cuts their bills, you know, lowers their bills. And it says so that when he loses his job, so that he's gained favor with other people. And what's perplexing about this parable is the fact that what does the master do? It says The master commends him for his shrewdness. And so you're sitting here scratching your head because, I mean, dishonesty is not right, is it? But yet the master's saying, hey, I commend you for your shrewdness. And I think that's where the key is. He commends him for his shrewdness, not his dishonesty. And we're not here to really talk about this parable in depth, but what he goes on to say kind of too is the fact that how in the world, in this world, we use a lot of different means to get what we want. But yet when it comes to the kingdom of God, we are really shy or laid back. We don't use everything at our disposal to gain people for the kingdom of God. But what I really wanted to focus on is this whole manager steward idea. I know you love Greek, so you're going to learn a little bit of Greek this morning. The word manager is oikonomos. And it really comes from two separate words in the Greek, oikos, which I think most of us can say that word, right? Oikos, which is house or household. And now, nomos is law. It's usually translated law in the New Testament. Even though Randy Frazee said it means manager, I've never seen nomos in the Greek translated manager. It actually is law or ordinances. And so I thought, if you think about it from that standpoint, you have here some principles or laws of a household. And so when you put those two together and you're talking about a person, that person is in charge of making sure those ordinances or those laws of that household are carried out. So whatever the master has set as the principles or guiding principles for that household, this is what that manager is going to do. He's going to take care of the household according to those ordinances or laws that that the master has set into place. And so as we think about then a master, you know, having a manager that's in charge of everything, this is where we really get to our key belief for today. And I'd like for us to look at that. And I don't remember what order I had, if I had the key belief or the key verse first, but maybe they can find it back there in the back. But if you look in your bulletin, the key belief is on stewardship is I believe everything I am or own belongs to God. Why don't you say that with me? I believe everything I am or own belongs to God. And then the key verse really points this out from the Old Testament. Psalm 24 verse 1, it says, "The Lord, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." And so if we think about this, I mean, this really makes us think in a totally different direction as with the children here. You know, I said, can I give your boots away? No way, because those are mine, right? And it really makes us start to think in a different direction if we see ourselves as a manager or a steward. For me, it really takes us back to our Old Testament reading for this morning in Genesis, where God has created the world and everything that's in it. And then he creates man, male and female. He creates them. And he really gives them two things that they're supposed to do. And I know that if you go through the list there's probably four or five, but I think you can group them together. He says to be fruitful and multiply, which is procreate, have children, populate the earth. That's one thing that he tells them to do. And the next thing he tells them to do is subdue it, the earth, and have dominion over the fish of the seas and the birds of the air. So subdue it and have dominion over it. Now, I know those two words can kind of carry a strong, forceful meaning to them in our society today. But in reality, what God is telling them, I'm giving you all of this, and you're going to what? I want you to take care of it. I want you to be in charge of it. I made it. God made it. But you're going to now care for it and take, you know, have charge over it and make sure everything is taken care of. And so when we think about our life then, even ourselves, and everything that we have, whose is it? It's God's. And I don't really like that idea a lot of times, because I really worked hard for some of the stuff I have, right? And I shared with the Bible class this morning. I've typically kind of seen it, and sometimes you can kind of fall halfway in the middle of that, but I've typically seen two different types of people. There's one person that if you ask them for something or ask to borrow something, they're going to automatically say, no, I don't loan anything out. And I'll have to say that that's kind of where I've stood for a long time. That's mine. I don't want you to break it. I want it back where I can use it again. They won't even loan you a broken tool, okay? There's those types of people because, you know, if I don't have that, then I can't even use it to pry with or sell it for scrap iron. Or then on the other side, there's those people that will loan you just about anything they have, right? Can you think of someone in both of those categories? I mean, I can. And it's amazing the different mindsets that we have. And I said, part of it's probably just my old German upbringing, you know. I worked hard for that. That's my stuff, and no one's going to break it or take it from me. But then you have those people that, man, oh, you need that? Yeah, here, just take it. Bring it back whenever you get finished with it. Or if I need it, I'll come get it. I mean, we know people like that. And I thought to myself, you know, that is almost, and we talked about that in Bible class, that's almost a freeing concept if you can begin to think about everything that we are, everything that we have belonging to God. It's not mine. It's God's. Because I said, if you have children, you understand this pretty well. If you give them a $20 bill and tell them to bring you the change back, what do you usually get back? Nothing. I mean, it is so easy to spend your parents' money. Now, if they have money, now some of them will go spend it all, but there's a lot of them that, you know, I don't want to spend all that. That's, you know, that's my money. I don't want to spend it all. But it's so freeing when you're spending someone else's money, right? And I said, isn't it, if we could begin to think of things even more in the terms of it being God's, it's a really freeing concept to know that, you know, what I have, you know, it really doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And, you know, we sometimes even see this in the church, you know, about the church maybe not wanting to loan something out or make available a space for use because we don't want someone to misuse it or tear it up. Now, I did say that there is, you know, we want to be responsible with what God has given us. But I wonder how often responsibility is kind of turned into being stingy. And God doesn't want us to be stingy. I mean, he is the first one that has lavished, extravagantly given us his love and everything that we have. And he's called us to share with others as well. I know that stewardship is a tough word. And it does deal. It deals with our money. It deals with our talents. It deals with everything that we are and who we are. And God has richly blessed us with all of these things. And now he's simply calling us, or we're responding to his love for us by sharing some of these things with others and giving back to him as well. And so I would pray that if anything, what we learn from today is that it's not our stuff. We're not our own, as even the epistle reading said. We are God's. We were bought at a price. I haven't shared this with Stacy yet, but I was thinking, you know, if it's not mine, if it's not ours, that means my house, you know, the it's not that great, but the above ground pool in our backyard, that's not mine. You know, I should just open it up to all of y'all. You know, hey, just come on over, use my house, use my backyard, use my shop, use whatever you want, whenever you want. But see, we kind of draw a line, don't we? It becomes a little bit more mine than God's a lot of times. But how freeing it would be just to understand that everything we have is God's. And He intends for us to use it wisely, but also use it to bring glory to His name. And so as we continue to live our lives in this world, I pray that we can begin to see what we have as God's. And I wonder what our attitudes would be like, how they might change over time, and how freeing, really, that would be to understand that, you know, I don't really own anything. It's all God's. I would like for us to repeat the key phrase at least one more time together. It says, I believe everything I am or own belongs to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We stand for our prayers. Lord, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for our life that you give us each day. Lord, we're sorry that we do take a lot that we have for granted and never return that thanks to you for how you bless us each day. Lord, we ask that you would graciously be with all of those who are sick, who are faced with challenges each day, who are recovering from different illnesses. Lord, we lift up today all of those who are struggling with cancer. Johnny Gautier, Jean Bloodworth, Jean Botlinger, Wanda Hubbard, Andrew Kaufman, Betty Odom, Beverly Phillips, and Jackie Blackburn. Lord, we pray that you would watch over these individuals and give them strength for each day. Lord, bring healing according to your will. We also lift up Cecilia Jensen, recovering from the broken wrist, Frances Schrunk, recovering from her broken hip, Alice Jeske, recovering with a broken arm. Lord, we pray that will begin to heal on its own and that surgery will not be necessary. We also lift up Arabella Galindo, who is in serious condition, a little five-year-old girl who has some heart issues, has undergone heart surgery, is basically on life support. Lord, we pray that you would just surround the family with your love at this time. We also lift up Mildred Couch, continue to strengthen her and bring healing to her from the infection that she had. Lord, we pray for Jordan Hilfiker, a family friend of ours who will be induced having some complications with a pregnancy. Lord, we ask that you'd be with Coach Keeler from Jonesboro, who had a ruptured appendix. Lord, we just ask your blessing over him. Bryce Goff, a friend of the Kinzings, Lord, we ask that you, who has suffered many complications from a car accident, we ask that you would strengthen him as he goes through all the surgeries and things that he's dealing with. We also lift up Jonathan Rich, that you would bring healing to his ankle and that it's not more serious than just a sprain. Lord, we also lift up Jennifer Alexander, a co-worker of Sabrina Sellers, who was involved in a car accident that took the life of her husband and older son. And Lord, the younger son and herself are still in critical condition. Lord, we pray that you would bring healing to them and be with them during this time of loss. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we continue to lift up the family of Gary Tyson. Lord, just bring comfort to them and the assurance of eternal life that we have in your son. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our youth today as well. Lord, as they will have a spring break this week, we pray that they will just have a time to refresh themselves and Lord, just to rest. But Lord, we ask that you would continue to strengthen them, that their spiritual lives will be strong, and Lord, that they can be the leaders that you've called them to be in our world. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we do thank you for the rain that you have sent. We see how your hand is involved in caring for our earth, and we ask that you would continue to do that. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray that as we prepare to come to your table this morning, that we do come with repentant hearts, that we leave our sins at the foot of the cross, that we come in a worthy manner, discerning the true body and blood of your Son, for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Lord, in your mercy. We pray all of these prayers and any other petitions that we have in our hearts in the words you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Right. strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith of life everlasting. Depart in peace and joyfully serve the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
We stand for our closing. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have refreshed us here today with your word and now this sacrament. Lord, we ask that we have been equipped as well to go out into the world to serve you, and that we recognize that everything we are and everything we have belongs to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We remain standing for our closing hymn.